Happy Thanksgiving 2019. It's the Rook here. You're listening to a Best of Garage Logic podcast, which, of course, will not be a numbered podcast. And this goes back to 2016. The political scene was being set up, and Joe had some thoughts about the election, who his candidate was or was not, and just some of the behavior of voters, not only in Garage Logic, but across the country. You're listening to a Best of Garage Logic, brought to you in part by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores. You're looking for a Christmas tree? You're looking for some spruce tops? They got it all for you. And, of course, hopefully you've already purchased your shovel because the snow is everywhere. You are listening to a Best of Garage Logic Thanksgiving podcast. Let's go back to 2016 with Such.
The Clinton camp has had a number of emails that have been discovered, leaked, whatever word you want to use, and whether that is kosher or not is a different topic. The fact is they're there for people to read now. Mm-hmm. And the headline on the Washington Times is Clinton campaign mocks Catholic Southerners needy Latinos in emails. And that's a very long, well-written piece. But I can condense it because the Wall Street Journal, conveniently enough for me, editorialized about it in an editorial called Anti-Catholics for Clinton. It's no secret that progressive elites despise religion, but it's still striking to see their contempt expressed so bluntly as in the leaked email claims that include Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The source for these documents is WikiLeaks. The Clinton campaign will not confirm or deny their authenticity, and Mr. Podesta is implying that Russian intelligence hacked his email to help Donald Trump. Maybe so, and these hacks should be met with a forceful U.S. response. But the emails are now in the public domain, and the left celebrated WikiLeaks that damaged the U.S. effort in Afghanistan. The emails show that in 2011, Mr. Podesta and Jennifer Palmieri, who was now a senior Clinton campaign official, received a note from the Center for American Progress colleague John Halpin. Mr. Halpin notes a media report that our News Corporation superiors, Executive Chairman Rupert Murdoch and CEO Robert Thompson, raised their kids Catholic. Mr. Halpin observes that many leading conservatives are Catholic and opines that they must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations. Ms. Palmieri responds, I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals. This is a window into the intolerant, secular soul of the Democratic establishment and perhaps explains why it has done so little to accommodate requests for religious liberty from the Little Sisters of the Poor. Let me stop right there. No, I'll come back to the Little Sisters. Okay. Team Clinton apparently views religion merely as a justification people adopt for their views on politics and gender. Don't Clinton campaign advisors think it's at least possible that a person might be motivated by sincere belief? Mr. Halpin's response to Ms. Palmieri was, excellent point. They can throw around Thomistic thought and subsidiarity and sound sophisticated because no one knows what the hell they're talking about. I do.
Thomistic
it's been
thought.
A while, and I had to do some homework. I had to dust off some thoughts. It's been a while since I was in Aquinas Hall at St. Thomas. Thomistic thought is the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
They're very basic. The Wall Street Journal writes, we'll leave Thompson to the theologians, but subsidiarity is a concept that the left would do well to consider. You know what subsidiarity is? You have a vague idea. We've talked about it before. We just didn't call it subsidiarity. Mm-hmm. It's the concept that the left would do well to consider. It is the idea that social problems are best addressed by the nearest and smallest competent authority rather than by a faraway large state. Individual acts of charity can be highly effective, but the Clinton platform sees virtue only in a centralized bureaucracy sending out welfare checks regardless of results. All right, let me get heavy here. Here's the stuff I dusted off. I've been stumbling around for 10 years trying to nail down what it is we've been calling the mystery.
Okay.
But it's been nagging at us for 10 years.
Yes.
Something's going on.
Right.
Something that doesn't feel right is going on. I wouldn't even necessarily limit it to the Democratic Party. I would assign it to the political class.
Okay.
Let me just give you a bit of a Thomistic thought. St. Thomas Aquinas adhered to some Neoplatonic principles. For example, and most crucially, it is absolutely true that there is first something which is essentially being and essentially good, which we call God. That's what progressives find amusing. That's what progressives find amusing. Now, here's how I can apply it to the mystery. We were founded by guys that Mysterians have demonized. We were founded by white guys who had faith.
Mm-hmm.
They founded us in the belief that there are rights to which we are naturally entitled, inalienable rights.
Right.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That those rights don't come from man. They can't. We are naturally entitled to them because they have been given to us by what the founders believed to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
The Mysterians believe those rights have to come from man, which is another way of saying those rights have to come from the state. There's the mystery. That's what's been changing. What's been changing is the belief that our naturally entitled rights do not come from a deity. They come from man himself. And therefore, it is man that will begin to define what rights you can have and what you can't, including the ones to which we are naturally entitled, life, abortion, liberty, rules and regulations, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the mystery. I've been wandering for years, and it's finally dawning on me we shall be governed by elites who will determine for us what our essential rights are. That's the mystery. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
It makes complete sense. I'm letting it soak in. The progressives,
they mock Thomistic thought. They mock subsidiarity. These are simple points. Thomistic thought is basically there is a God. Well, the founders bought that. The founders bought that. That's why they founded us. They founded us in the belief that we have no business assigning which rights people might enjoy. There are certain of them that are inalienable. We are naturally entitled to them because they come from on high. They are goodness. They are good. And we've had nothing to do with creating them. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The progressives come along, the Mysterians who have been chipping away at this for 100 years and now have as their champion a woman who is power hungry, money hungry, and dismissive of people of faith. Dismissive of people of faith. Finding them amusing. Clinton advisors would also rather force the church to accept their teachings. In 2012, activist Sandy Newman emailed Mr. Podesta to say there needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand the end of a Middle Ages dictatorship, as if people are forced to believe at the point of a gun. Mr. Podesta responds with an update on what he's been doing to prepare for a moment like this. This disdain for people of faith helps explain today's political polarization and why so many people are willing to support a blunt, avenging force like Trump. Religious Americans know that much of the political establishment detests them. Imagine the media bonfire if emails surfaced from the Trump campaign with similar comments about Islam. But the anti-Catholic emails have received little media attention, to which I will add, and they won't receive any. To the progressives who dominate American culture and politics, anti-Christian views are the most socially acceptable form of bigotry. You want another irony that I had to discover in my dusting out the cobwebs of my long-ago education?
Yeah, lay it on me.
St. Thomas Aquinas believed that truth is to be accepted no matter where it is found. His doctrines draw from Greek, Roman, Jewish, and Muslim philosophers.
Huh.
Specifically, he was a realist. That is, he, unlike the skeptics, believed that the world can be known as it is. He largely followed Aristotelian terminology and metaphysics and wrote comprehensive commentaries on Aristotle, often affirming Aristotle's views with independent arguments. Thomas respectfully referred to Aristotle simply as the philosopher. And here's the key sentence. And this is what is being mocked inside the campaign of Clinton. He, St. Thomas Aquinas, also adhered to some Neoplatonic principles. For example, that it is absolutely true that there is first something which is essentially being and essentially good, which we call God, and that everything can be called good and a being inasmuch as it participates in it by way of a certain assimilation. The mystery is, and what a challenge it is to ward it off. The mystery is the belief that our rights should be assigned to us not from on high, but from the political elites who will run the government. The reason we've enjoyed being America is because of those rights to which we have been naturally entitled. You can't get to where this country has gotten to without having those natural given rights. You can't get to where this country has been without the free pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now we face a future in which the mystery would disabuse us of the notion that those rights are ours naturally. No, those rights will have to come from us.
Huh.
That's the mystery. I've been stumbling for 10 years trying to figure it out. That's what it is.
You feel better, like a big burden has been lifted?
Somewhat.
Now we have to do something about it.
We must do something about it. I have no idea what.
I know exactly what to do about it. How about a nice dinner at Jack's Cafe? It's the Rook here. Yeah, you could settle a lot, whether you're with coworkers, whether you're with loved ones, or whether it's just date night. Jack's Cafe can certainly accommodate. They're online at jackscafe.com, JAXCAFE.com. And when I'm talking about a great meal, if you are on a date night, it's the perfect, perfect situation. Head over to Jack's in Northeast Minneapolis on 19th and University and ask specifically for the GL Rookie Date Night VIP menu. For about $100, including a bottle of wine, you get a four-course meal for two. It is a wonderful meal. You know, I'll tell you what, Jack's has such a great history. Three generations, decades and decades and decades of providing fine dining and, of course, private dining facilities as well. Yeah, if you're going to have that Christmas party, the office party, or maybe it's a wedding, full-blown family reunion, they can accommodate up to 300 guests. They have the facilities. They've housed a sports talk remote, for crying out loud. They know what they're doing. So if you have a date night or if you have a party to plan, just like I did. I think the Royces are spending Thanksgiving at Jack's Cafe. Our credit union, our board is spending our Christmas party there, and so many others. Office parties for law offices. I've seen the emails. JacksCafe.com. Give them a buzz. 612-789-7297. The Rookie VIP date night menu, or maybe it's just that party. You're going to have a great time, a great experience, and check out the back patio because it is ready for the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, etc., Hanukkah, whatever the case may be. Jack's Cafe, JAXCAFE.com. And don't forget to tell them that the Rook sent you.
Kelly?
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
So you're telling everybody, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess this, I am.
A day worthy of opening the third stall on the garage, firing up the 67 Triumph. Hitting the siren and then fixing the bubble right on top, and away you go.
Yeah.
But you're caught with no horse.
I know.
What do you propose?
I'm caught with no candidate.
Well, yeah, but now we're all never Hillary? Is this the answer to the mystery?
No,
never Hillary.
No. I did not say that. Let me here. I'll hang you up and keep listening. Call back if you must.
Thank you.
I don't believe that the Clinton people are out to eliminate Catholicism or Presbyterianism or Lutheranism or Southern Baptists or Jehovah's Witnesses or what have you. And I think I said earlier, I find this true of the political class, that what we're experiencing is an attempt by the political class, most principally their Mysterian foot soldiers, to undo the idea that there are certain rights to which we are naturally entitled. They would replace that with, you are only entitled to the rights that we divine, that humans come up for you. Listen to the rhetoric of the political class. We want to improve your life. We want to help you. I don't want your help. No, I don't want your help. That's what subsidiarity is supposed to be. The smallest competent entity should be addressing problems, not the larger, faraway state. I don't know what if the caller was a Hillary supporter or not. I'm not a never anybody. There are never Trumpers, never Hillarys. I'm interested in neither of them. Neither of them understand what I just said. But particularly Trump, who I'm quite certain maybe does not know how to read. But Hillary maybe understands what I just said, but wouldn't doubt it because she wants to go down that road. To her, the greatest form of government would be the one that is all-encompassing and all-entailing and therefore that much larger. So I think what Americans are facing is a future in which those rights to which we are naturally entitled, because they don't come from a person, those will be replaced by rights that can only come from people, the government. And that would be the end of this country, and thus that would be the completion of the mystery.
And then what, we just implode and have to start all over again?
We'd be a completely different country. We'd be some quasi-European state. We would not be what we are today.
Mm.
And think of the examples we've had over the years when we've wrestled with what this is, the destruction of history. You can't have that little cross symbol on the
San Diego, on the
Los Angeles County seal.
Mm-hmm.
This chipping away. Well, what is it? It's a chipping away at the idea that we are entitled to certain rights because they come from God. I'm not a terribly theological person. I just happen.
You're not a Bible thumper.
I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm a believer. And I believe that those rights of mine came to me not from a government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sadness. It's utter sadness to see them so under attack. And then you get these emails in which these elite fools are laughing at us. They're laughing at people of faith. They doubt that people of faith don't know what Thomistic thought is or subsidiarity means. This is the look into the holy secular soul of the political class. So what do we do about it? Well, some great American's going to have to come out of the woods and lead us back into the promised land, because without that, the future doesn't look terribly promising. Garage Logic will be back shortly.
Have you noticed the consolidation happening to commercial insurance agencies today? This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. The big just keep getting bigger, and you and your business continue to get passed around until you become a dreaded house account. You have been consolidated. All of this was done to you without your control. Get options and take control of your company's insurance program. Have the Canopy Group help you gain a commercial insurance strategy that makes your business more attractive to the insurance industry. The more insurance companies that we can get interested in your business, the more competitive your pricing will be. If your business is renewing in January, February, or March and is paying less than $80,000 in premium, don't accept being a house account. Get the attention you deserve with the Canopy Group. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389. 800-967-3389.
Need another minute or two on my highfalutin tirade.
Well, you know, people are always tuning in and tuning out.
Well, I'm not starting the whole thing.
No. Give me a recap.
The founders wanted to have a country where the political class husbanded the rights to which we were naturally entitled, that they were caretakers of those rights.
Mm-hmm.
They did not envision the political class appropriating those rights. They believed accountability to God. I don't want to be accountable to Al Franken or Betty McCollum or Mark Dayton or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Mitt Romney or
anybody. Harry.
No, I know where I'm accountable. And this subsidiarity, which word probably didn't exist when the founders were gathered in the unair-conditioned hotel rooms in Philadelphia, that's what they had in mind, that your problem shall be solved basically on your own, and if not on your own, with the smallest competent entity that could help you get the job done.
Sounds like garage logic.
Not this giant thing that we now have. That's the end of my that's the end of my speech.
I don't think it's a speech. I think it's
just a minute.
An observation that
I think that finally, just a minute. I had no idea I was going to be this good today.
Yeah. Oh man.
I think it's the closest we've come to finally arriving at the most meaningful definition of the mystery. I think it's the final, I think it's, that's the mystery. That yes, a different country will be brought about because rights which we once were naturally entitled, will become the province of humans to dole out. And it's not their business to dole them out.
That doesn't work.
No, that's not their business
to
dole them out. I got another complaint as long as I'm at it.
Are you okay?
You know what you start seeing at this time of year?
Punk?
Healthy Halloween treats to give the kids.
You know what I say? Here's what I...
Exactly.
Right.
Hey. They're not supposed to be healthy.
I am so glad you are bringing this
up. Why do you think these kids dress up and go door to door? They want candy.
They don't want
your
Kats.
Homemade tofu yogurt crap.
Salted nut rolls.
She wanted to hand out raisins.
No.
And I said, do you want the house to get egged?
Are you nuts? Right.
You want to have, on the block when kids walk by your home in April, they say,
boy, do we get good stuff there.
They give out great candy.
What website is this? I don't know.
You remember the places that give out the full-size candy bars.
Yeah, well, for me, you had to go to Summit or River Road for that stuff.
You'll see a lot of these stories. Are you looking for some alternatives to all that Halloween candy? You know the other thing we're going to get? No. Dentists who will offer bounty for kids to bring in the candy.
Yep. See you, dentist.
Are you looking for some alternatives to all that Halloween candy? Here are some healthy ideas for Halloween snacks. Apple nachos.
I can't imagine how fast I would reject that as a child and say, what else you got?
Banana oatmeal crumb muffins with avocado.
I'd rather have you play the piano.
Yeah.
Is there a choice here? Can you tell me a joke or something?
Pumpkin granola.
Granola should never be given out for Halloween. Ever. In any shape or form.
Monster apple mouths?
Nope.
Anytime you got to preheat an oven to to 300 degrees.
Yep. It's out.
To get a kid a snack for Halloween,
it's out.
You're going down the wrong road.
Yes.
You let the kid reach in there and pull out the worst possible chocolate bar that money can buy.
Right. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Here you go, kid. There you go. Good luck.
Oh, here's a plum.
Right. If you're going to bake something, have that for your own Halloween party, not for trick-or-treaters going from home to home.
Here's some yogurt.
Yeah, right. Right. Here's some yogurt back at you.
Yeah, I got your yogurt right here, you fat little.
Or when they take their own cellophane bags and say, here's how much candy you should have. You know, they put it in there and give it out. No, it's either a hand grab or you pass out, you know, fun size.
And this is your field of expertise.
You want to give out good candy.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
This is where you go to Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And this is where you go.
Why don't they advertise with us?
I don't know. They should. I'm a member. I've been a member forever.
I'm not a member. Oh. Will you take me there someday?
I would. That's where you can get great chocolate-covered almonds, almonds that we eat here.
You know, the newsman has an employee of said place in his home.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. We can do that too, but.
Isn't that where I can buy a bag of M&Ms and car tires?
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. You know.
Yeah.
I need a bumper for my car.
Right.
And some jeans.
And then get no fewer than 4 pounds of butter in one package.
And a 5-gallon bucket of soft scrub.
Right. You need some mayo? Hey, I got a gallon in aisle 7 for you.
Listen to this. Banana oatmeal crunch muffins with avocado.
Nope. Why with avocado?
1 tablespoon flax meal, 3 ripe bananas, 3 ounces vanilla yogurt, 1 cup organic sugar, 1/2 avocado peeled, pitted, and mashed, 1 cup white whole wheat flour, 2 scoops protein powder. Are you kidding me?
No.
The kid should Ralph all over your stoop.
The kid would reject it and say, you know what, kids, do not go to this house. Right. That kid's going somewhere
else. That kid
is
not going to eat a muffin
that kid's not
with gonna, avocado in it.
He's going to reject raisins as well,
absolutely,
I can guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
Oh, you mean Joel.
Joel, I'm sorry.
That's okay. When I was a kid, I would go trick-or-treating in Bloomington, and about 4 blocks over from where I live was Portland Avenue.
Okay, quickly, please.
Okay, and on Portland Avenue, there was one creepy house on a corner on an intersection, and nobody ever went there. Well, one year, some kids went there, and some old guy shuffled to the door and handed out, like, old Lego pieces with cigarette burns on them and stuff. And the older kids who came to the door, he shuffled back to his little, bookshelf, and he'd grab a couple firecrackers and give them to him. And the kids didn't put that in the bag of candy. They put them in their pocket, and they never told the parents.
All right, thank you. I got to run, but thank you. How do you confuse Joel for Hansel? Yeah, okay, it's Thanksgiving Day. You're going to have plenty of turkey left over, but you want to add to the festivities over the weekend? Get to Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meat Market at the north end of Hugo on Highway 61. Because you know what? After a few dozen tryptophan hits of turkey, something else is going to sound good to you, like a oven-ready meatloaf.
Yeah.
They also have the high-temp cheese and spices for venison sausage making. We're in the heart of the deer season.
I swear by the pastrami, Joe.
They got homemade pastrami and smoked salmon and
double-smoked hams
and double-smoked ham and bacon and the always wonderful selection of 130 pork brat flavors. Those are lean pork brats. They must be grilled, and GLers grill during the winter. They cannot be boiled. But it has become the GLers Meat Palace. It's the Meat Bazaar. It's Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats on the north end of Hugo on Highway 61. You can't miss it because there's a big GL sign flashing in red right out front.
Since Joe broke the glass with his Grunhofer spot, let's talk about the meal on Thanksgiving. Plate management and heap management. Let's start with heap management on Thanksgiving 2019. You're listening to a Best of Garage Logic podcast.
I got two uncles, and I'm very serious. My Uncle Jimmy and my Uncle Paul. I would like to act in the role of your trainer.
Okay.
I'd like to put you in an eating concert against those two, because I have never seen plates piled as high as Uncle Jimmy and Uncle Paul can pile a plate. There is no, It's beyond plate management.
Not even plate
They're
management?
They're beyond plate management. We're called heaping management. And I have never seen
gross,
such...
Total gross weight.
It's a GW, you know, a gross weight thing. It's GW 7000. And a lot of guys practice plate management. This is a vertical heap management. So it's when they're walking, mm-hmm. when they're walking, it's a very practiced, steady pace because what they've got is top heavy heap. See, plate management.
If you start going plate this way, plus you have to be able to walk, you know, straight.
If they start to lean, it's over.
Yeah.
Whereas plate management. You see waiters practice plate management right. all the time. They got seven plates in their hands, and they can spin around and go through a door. That's nothing. That's plate management. Heap management is to get the pile to a place without spilling anything, and that's an incredible thing to see. Now, I would like to put you up against Jimmy and Paul in an eating event for which I would charge an admission. And you would have the big bib on, and Jimmy and Paul have the bib on, and go into an eating ritual. I'm going to take you in this, by the way. And I've seen these two, and I'm taking you.
I'm intrigued.
I would take you because.
Well, I can put away a lot, and I can pile up a lot.
Do you practice heap management?
Well, what I do here is you can't put turkey. You know, when you load up on the turkey, you don't put it all on one.
And
side
again,
of the plate.
I must. It's going to fall off. Stop right now. I again need to reassure the great patriotic citizens of Gumption County that when you talk about this, the gleam in your eye is real. The joy you have is real. This is something you're fond of. All right, now continue.
There's no silly fun rookie. Hey, no,
this
crazy,
is not funny with you.
No,
is it?
It's not. This is a legitimate deal where it comes Thanksgiving once a year,
right?
As we all know.
So, do you heap or plate management?
I heap.
You're a heaper.
I didn't know I was a heaper. I'm glad you...
You're a heaper.
Turn the light on for me, because I thought it was just plate management
plate
for me.
Management.
But you're right. It's not plate management.
Here's when you practice plate management. You practice plate management at a wedding or at somebody's house. You don't really know that
well.
Where
you have to be...
Where you're kind of watching yourself. You're on your best behavior. When you're with a family, in a family environment... At an Easter, mm-hmm. a Thanksgiving, or a Christmas, it's heapology.
And more than that,
it has nothing to do with management. It's heapology.
You're right.
You'll heap tomorrow.
Oh, 100%.
Can you get it all on one plate? Are you a two plate heap?
I can.
I don't want you to talk to Colin right now. I want you to talk to me.
Is this Paul?
Which Paul?
Oh, John. Hang on.
Which John?
Your brother John.
Just a minute, Johnny.
Yeah.
I would put him up against Paul and Jimmy.
Now, see, you're missing a very critical factor here.
What?
Rookie might be able to go one-on-one with him once.
Yeah.
But Paul and Jimmy
are
going to go back maybe two, or at least two, maybe three times.
That's a good,
I'm out.
Johnny, that's a
I'm
good
out.
Point.
Not going to be able to keep up with
That's
I'm
a good
out.
Point. And each time, there is no reduction in the heap, is there?
No, absolutely
I'm out
not.
Of my league,
and here's another critical factor.
Yep.
Jimmy and Paul, there's a fighting chance that throughout the afternoon they might have had a cocktail or two.
Right.
A few beers.
Right.
So I mean and of course anything that would resemble an hors d'oeuvre. So I mean they come prepared.
Johnny?
Yeah.
What role does the nap play?
The nap is almost instantaneous with dinner, and it coincides with any kind of cleanup that has to be done.
That's exactly right. But you know, Johnny, you've saved me some money because I was going to go with my young man here.
Oh no!
But he doesn't have repeat. He doesn't have repeat qualities now.
I feel sorry for you right now.
Yeah,
because you really misread this situation.
Yeah. But
here's the other thing.
Yeah,
you're right on, because you know what? If I went back, I'd grab a little bit of stuffing and a couple of slices of turkey.
Oh, this is repeat heaping. This is repeat heaping.
I'm out.
Dinner again.
A complete.
It's not just I'll have a couple slices of turkey.
No, this is
that's
the whole.
Another
thing.
FM.
It's
so they'd be
all
going,
two FMs inside 30 minutes.
No. Yeah. No,
now,
I'm way out.
You got to go back to the nap for a minute.
Yeah.
Nap?
Because while everybody else is frenetically cleaning up and, you know, stowing away pots that are used once a year.
Right.
These two are asleep,
right,
waking up in time to start drinking and ready for dessert. And that's another complete, it's not just a little piece of pie
with
a sliver of whipped cream.
No, it's the whole deal, isn't it?
It's the whole thing, you know, back and forth. And then while they're done, they might, you know, 9:30, everybody else is long gone. They might say, you know, is there one cold beer left?
Of course.
Well, Rookie's got a long way to go.
Yeah, well, you really did straighten me out on that.
Yeah.
And it just shows a young guy like this what he needs to strive for, doesn't it?
Oh. He's got many years to prepare.
Many, many years of practice before he would achieve this kind of status. Because you're absolutely right. I had some of that dynamic had slipped my mind, but you're absolutely right.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I'm not taking you. I'm out. I'm out of it because he pointed out you stand no chance. You're too young. You don't have enough practice. Your skills aren't ready. You just haven't done this enough.
No, I'd have to agree, and I'm not even insulted. I couldn't go back for that. I have a tough enough time going 2 FM, 2 full meals,
right,
here,
right,
at 2,
right,
and then 6 or 7:30 or whenever it is at the other. It just
I've seen these guys go 2 full heaps at the same dinner table, and maybe 3. In their younger days, they were 3 full heaps.
Oh man!
At the same dinner table,
couldn't do it.
So
I bow to the champions.
Speaking of heat management, it's Reavers here for the good people over at 30 Bales Restaurant in downtown Hopkins. Yes, Todd and Tom, they are the longtime owners of that establishment. And you know what? They are giant fans of Garage Logic. And they are so thankful this holiday season for all of you GLers that have stopped in, introduced yourself, and raved online, social media, via email about the great menu and the great people that they have at 30 Bales Restaurant in downtown Hopkins. So here's the deal. They're at 11th and Main Street, right there downtown Hopkins. They're a perfect spot for you to check out if you're going to a stage, a theater show, what have you, anywhere downtown. They have a great menu. They're happy hour every Tuesday through Friday, obviously with the exception today of Thanksgiving, from 3 to 6 p.m., a number of $5 select menu items, $5 draft beers, and also their brunch every Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is wonderful. You can see their entire menu if you go online right now to 30bales.com. And please, when you stop in, make sure that you let them know that Reavers from the GL crew sent you in today.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. With Thanksgiving Day and the holiday season upon us, I'm asking you to eat mindfully. Avoid robotic motions of simply stuffing your face. Look here as I give you some tips to eat mindfully around the holiday season and every day. Tip number one from Morgan Freeman. Focus on the people you're sharing your meal with. Engage in interesting conversations. Ask questions and really listen to your companions. I remember one time Andy Dufresne telling me about his Thanksgiving upbringing. He loved sharing meals with the family, and he couldn't wait to get out to share them again. When asked about mine, I told him I had a tough upbringing. We were lucky if we got a can of Spam. It wasn't too good. But I digress. Tip number two. Notice how hungry you are. If you ain't hungry yet, become aware of the reasons you feel like eating anyway. If it's for social reasons, then be social for a while longer. Then, go ahead and eat when you get hungry. Tip number three. Decide how you want to feel when you're done eating. Stuffed and miserable? I think not. Or would you like to be comfortable and content? As Andy and I were when we were in Zihuatanejo. You know, eating the right amount of food is not about being good, but feeling good. Fill your plate or order accordingly. Be smart, like Andy was before he broke out of prison. Mentally describe the table setting and the ambiance. Notice the aromas, the colors, the textures, and the presentation of the meal. We didn't get that in prison. That's why it was a tough Thanksgiving. But I no longer have to learn about that. Before eating, take a moment to be truly thankful about where your food came from. including all the people who invested their time, their effort, and talent to get it from farm to plate, or from the bottom of the can to the prison kitchen. Sometime it ain't too good. Choose your food carefully by asking yourself what you want and what you need. What do you need? If you need something in prison, I can get it, but I can't help you on Thanksgiving. Don't waste your appetite on cranberry sauce shaped like a can if you don't love it. What the hell is with that anyway? That cranberry stuffed sauce shaped like a can. It's not very appetizing, especially on the bottom. The next tip. Now just put one small bite in your mouth. And in prison, you have to be careful. You only have taste buds on your tongue, so the flavors of a large bite of food are lost on your teeth, if you have any left, your cheeks, and the roof of your mouth. Notice the textures and flavors of the food on your tongue, then slowly begin to chew. Breathe, since flavors other than salty, sweet, and bitter, and sour, actually come from the aromas. Do me a favor and set your fork down between bites. If you begin to load your next forkful, your attention will be on the next bite, not the one you're eating now. And if you're focused on the next bite of food instead of the one you're eating, you won't stop eating until there are no more forkfuls. Does that make sense? The next tip, as you relax, sit for a moment and let the flavors and experience linger before you take the next bite. That makes sense. Notice as the food gently fills your stomach, pause for several minutes, and I mean pause for several minutes in the middle of eating to reconnect with your hunger and fullness levels and enjoyment of the meal. What in the Sam hell does that mean? I don't know, but it's listed as a tip here. Food is abundant this time of year. Actually, all year for many of us, unless you're in prison. Remind yourself that you can eat more later or at another meal, so there's no need to eat it all now like you're in prison and on your last meal. No, that will ruin the experience, and you are going to be way too stuffed. Now, these were some tips for mindful eating, and that's a great way to enjoy Thanksgiving and other meals while eating less. I think you'll be thankful that you did. Happy Thanksgiving from Morgan Freeman.
Bob?
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about your pornography stuff. You were talking with them secretaries and that. You know, the Minnesota Supreme Court passed an ordinance that every county in the state of Minnesota has to put up 10% of their land mass for adult entertainment. We shut it down up here in Onamia and Mille Lacs County, but for at least a little while, to put it under more study. But I don't hear about it anywhere.
Each county has to provide 10% of its land mass for adult entertainment?
That's what they're telling us at the county meeting, commissioners.
You heard wrong. Can't be true.
The Supreme Court supposedly passed this. And we all got ordinances up here on it, and in Bradbury Township, and we shut it down. We fought it. We had everybody up here was against it. But they're telling us the Minnesota Supreme Court passed this, and I had never heard anything about it before I got the letter from the county.
What would this have to do with the library?
Well, we were talking about pornography, and I've been waiting to call you over it because everybody's going after the war, and I didn't want to interrupt and start going over pornography when everybody's hoo-hawed over the war, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
You know, we're up here kind of by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got turkeys here in the background. I was just hearing it and thought I had a call. It was just something that brought something to my attention.
Here, put your phone near those turkeys.
Okay. Yeah, see? They gobble.
Yeah. So you got a turkey farm?
No, I just got a little hobby farm up here that I support myself on. And they're just some bug eaters. You got to have turkeys and birds around to take care of wood ticks and all kinds of little critters.
I guess you do.
But that's, we've got beef and mules and everything else. But,
right.
I mean, that pornography thing really got me because I've never heard anything about it on the news and the paper or anything else. And It's really surprising because it's full, you know, Minneapolis, a seven county area, should already, that's already done because they dealt with it, and I think St. Cloud has already dealt with it because they have adult entertainment. But there's all the other counties in Minnesota now are going to have to deal with this.
What's the nearest town to you?
Onamia.
So do they have a public library?
Nope.
No, where do you have to go to your nearest public library?
Mille Lacs.
And do you ever go to it?
Wife does.
Yeah. All right. But it, you don't think she goes there behind your back just to check out the porn, do you?
No, she's already read every book that's in it, so she quit even going there. She reads.
Yeah, well. Yeah, well, good for her.
I'm sitting here on the steps waiting to talk to you, and I'm watching the ice go out of my creek.
Oh, yeah?
It's beautiful. Turkeys are here gobbling at my feet, and I'm watching the ice go out of the creek. Yeah. I'm going to go out and feed here a little bit. I just wanted to – I didn't think anybody knew about this Supreme Court law, and I think it's fictitious, but somebody is – it's happening.
Uh-huh. Just a minute. I'm just noting the time of this call because it's a great call because I've never heard so many turkeys in the background.
Yeah, I'm sorry about it. They love people talking.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Are they social?
Yeah, they're really irritating. If you try working on something out in the garage, I just come out of the garage, you got to keep the door shut because otherwise they come in there and eat all the screws and the nut and bolts. You take something apart and they'll eat it.
Did you hear me earlier talking about the guy in Japan who invented the deal for the dog? You can interpret what the dog means when it barks?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that'd be neat to have one for a turkey.
Yeah.
Strap it on the turkey.
Yeah. Every time you take something apart, if it's anything from about half inch down, they'll eat. I got a couple emus running around, too, and they'll eat half inch bolts.
Why would they eat a bolt?
They use it to chew up your food, to put it in their gizzard like birds do. They eat anything.
I did not know that a turkey or an emu would eat hardware.
They eat anything.
Huh.
They'll eat anything they can get in their mouth.
But they like to hang around the garage with you?
Yeah. You can't keep them away.
Now, are you retired?
No.
Is this your farm? Is this what you do for a living?
No, I build roads.
Oh, you're a road?
I'm laid off.
Oh, okay. You work for the state?
No, I don't.
I see.
No, she runs a farm here all year round, but I just get to come up here in the wintertime.
Oh, I get you. All right.
Yeah, but that's...
seasonal.
Well, Bob, thank you for that.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You
Here's
too.
The turkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye, turkeys.
Bye.
Goodbye. All right. Save that whole thing. That was wonderful.
Hang on to that.
I didn't know turkeys. The guy's sitting there on his steps, and the turkeys are talking to him.
Talking about library and porn.
And the turkeys are weighing in.
I think you put the necklace on the turkeys, and all you're going to hear is, gobble, 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 gobble.
Just a minute.
It's not going to be, hey, master, I need
more
food for grit or whatever it is.
And he goes in the garage. He takes stuff apart, and the turkeys eat all the hardware.
They're following him around.
Jeez. Well, I got that story, or Kelly got it. Mm. Unless I lost that, too, I'm not. Why am I losing stuff?
What's, first thing to go?
Well, here it is.
So, prep work.
I think the first thing to go are the knees.
Oh, yeah?
There you have it, folks. Your best of Garage Logic for 2019 on Thanksgiving Day. Go to garagelogic.com if you want to hear more, or you missed a podcast or two, and patronize those advertisers who are so loyal to Garage Logic. And we'll be back with more Garage Logic podcast version next time. Tell a few friends.